You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
We are gathered here as advisors, as scientists.
The kind of place you expect a ghost to like to wander around.
Hey, we all know that we're going down, baby.
I'll help you. I'm something of a witch.
Welcome to Mission Spooky. I'm your fantastic host, JC. With me today, as per usual, the queen of everything herself, Kiki, our local cryptid enthusiast, Cord, and the mushroom maiden, Kayla. Did I do mushroom maiden right? Is that the right one?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't sound so confident.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. YOLO.
Do it again, JC.
Nope, I'm good.
I'm
happy with it.
Hey, so just a heads up, if you listened to us last week, which I do hope that you did, we decided to turn the 12 days of weirdness into two episodes because we went on quite a bit. It was very long. It was going to be...
That's what she said.
Yeah, it was going to be easily like over 2 hours long. And we thought, let's split it up a little bit because then JC and Cord could come in on the second half and they're here today. So that's awesome. And so this is the second half of the 12 Days of Weirdness, which is dedicated to weird stuff in Pennsylvania, because, you know, that's where we're from. If you haven't figured that out yet, if you're just joining us for this episode, it's going to be a little weird because there is a part one. I suggest going back and listening to that first. Or hey, whatever. Doesn't really matter. You're not going to miss anything. You can listen to this one first. Do it backwards.
No.
Because 7 through, you know, 12 is pretty interesting.
I strongly disagree. Go back, listen to the whole thing.
Listen, our listeners are strong-willed individuals, and if they want to do it backwards, they can do it backwards. Okay.
Oh, sure they can.
I believe in them. So something happened in Pennsylvania very recently. It'd probably be about almost two weeks now since this came out.
Is it the Taylor Swift thing?
We decided as a state, I'm sorry, as a Commonwealth, that 2023 was the era of Taylor Swift.
How'd I guess that?
And Rolling Stone magazine put out a ridiculous article about how the headline was Pennsylvania legislature is torn up because of this vote that actually passed, by the way. So congratulations, Taylor. At least Pennsylvania recognizes your greatness. Now, you know, she's from here. So here's the deal. She's from technically born in West Reading, but lived in Wyomissing. So,
oh, that is very different.
Yeah. Yes. And that's like me being born in Ambler and not Ambler. I'm sorry. Fucking Abington. But, you know, I never lived there. That's just where the hospital was. By the way, fun fact, me and Bradley Cooper were born at the same hospital.
Wow, that is a fun fact. Oh, gosh.
Just 3 years apart. Yeah. Oh, well, I did not know this about Taylor either. She spent her summers in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, just like I did. Very cool.
So you're basically Taylor Swift is what you're...
We're just best buddies and don't even realize it. Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Too funny.
Are you also dating a hunky football man?
He's not my type, but let's get back to the point, which is that...
Oh, you don't want us to just shit on people for 20 minutes?
Rolling Stone put out like this whole thing about how this is what tore apart the PA legislation. And I was like, dude, no. Pennsylvania having representatives who are neo-Nazis, fascists, and, you know, crazy people is what tore up the, you know... I have to say, though, the new Speaker of the House, after she got done listening to a tirade from one of the GOP people about how this was all BS and a waste of taxpayers.
When she's saying haters gonna hate.
Yes. Yep. That was her response. It was freaking beautiful.
What, not really understanding what you guys are talking about. This conversation is a trip.
Why was this even being discussed in the legislature?
2023 is the era of Taylor Swift.
As defined by
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
It's like getting the the key to the city.
Okay.
Only you're getting the key to the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Congratulations, pretty white girl. You made a lot of fucking money.
She did. She did make, and it, like, truly, if you look at what she, her phenomenon, it is kind of ridiculous, like, in a, like, it's not her, I don't blame her at all, in any, like, it's just crazy, like, the NFL, when she started going to games, got, like, a 400% increase in viewership. Which is crazy that her just being somewhere.
And started having the discussion that it's a massive disadvantage for the other team because they're going to be distracted just because Taylor Swift is there.
Yeah.
By the way, this legislation was thrown down on December 13th, her birthday.
Burr, 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 burr.
Yeah, so the whole thing was just a ceremony basically giving her the keys to the Commonwealth. It doesn't really mean shit. It's nothing that's going to change. It was just like a cute little, hey, we're going on Christmas break. It's her birthday.
You liberals aren't allowed to have these cute things, buddy.
Well, keep okay. This is what, like, it comes down to. I remind everyone
adorable.
That we had a Republican Congress forever. In-house, and we had to put up with a whole bunch of GOP bullshit on the constant. They've been in charge for far too long, and this is the one time the Democrats are like, oh, we want to, and the other thing they hate, haters gonna hate, the fact that she got a whole bunch of kids to register to vote, 35,000 more people who are probably voting Democrat because she had come out and said she can't stand Donald Trump. So, fuck you, GOP of Pennsylvania. Get your fucking shit together.
You liberal.
Actually, don't get your shit together.
Right,
keep
actually
doing
don't.
What you're doing.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, if you want to actually get your shit together and do something for the people, then fine. But
probably get your shit together. It would look better if you got your shit together.
It is not a good look for you to be bitching about the fact that a woman who is successful and from this state and has done a lot for people in general, including the voter registration, because honestly, I don't care. She got all these kids to register to vote. What if they don't all vote Democrat? I don't care. They're in the system. They're participating. Okay. They're learning. That's fantastic. Y'all are going to be bitching about that? Fuck you. Not
but
you guys.
Yeah,
not
the
our listeners.
Republicans,
but, you know,
don't want.
They would rather you be stupid.
I don't dislike Taylor Swift at all. I'm just in the camp of I could care less.
Same. You
know, I listened to her when I was like 14 years old, and now I don't. Good for her. I'm glad that she's doing good things. I'm glad people are voting, but I don't understand why it took up time in the government. But
I think
not like they were doing anything fucking important anyway. Yeah. So
indeed,
they have more important
Slay
things
Queen
probably should be doing
the. So once again, the thing is, it's like they were. This was just supposed to be a really quick, just cute ceremony. It wasn't supposed to be a whole day ordeal to begin with. It was just let's do something special for a bitch who's made us a shit ton of money. Like, that's all it was supposed to be. And then it got blown out of proportion because Republicans are like, no, she likes Democrats, so we gotta hate her. And it's fucking ridiculous.
But yeah, they actually made it, like, if they had just done the vote instead of actually wasting the time of standing up there and talking about how they didn't want it.
Yeah.
Or why we shouldn't do it. It was only supposed to take, like, you know, 30 minutes. But, you know, once again, they do the thing and then they blame everyone else for the thing that they fucking did. So,
yeah.
Anyway, the only reason I'm mentioning it is because, hey, Pennsylvania, this is a Pennsylvania heavy. This is all about all the weird shit that happened in this Commonwealth.
Well, you know what I gotta say? Politics can suck on these, buddy.
Uh-oh.
These what?
These nuts
up somebody lawsuit. Somebody get Mr. Beast
yeah, we don't have time to talk about that.
I don't care,
we already
you
talked about it.
Sue me all you want, you can't keep me from screaming these nuts.
I feel like we should scrap Mission Spooky. Here's the new thing, we just talk world events, just the four of us get together and we just complain about the world.
I lasted about 4 episodes before I snap.
On what?
On the world. Oh, I watched, remember, I watched the news in depth one day of the month because I can't handle the stupidity in this world.
I'm about as far opposed to that idea as literally humanly possible.
No. I do propose, though, that we do take on more of, like, some weird topics. Hold on. For example,
define weird.
So we're doing weird today. Okay, so.
Oh, I'm doing weird every day. Don't
give me a minute, okay? Because this is also a headline that you will only see in Pennsylvania. Okay, it's not funny. It isn't funny, but I'm sorry. The headline is ridiculous. All right, so here's the headline. Man with machete at Utz plant subdued by employees and cops.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to fuck with Utz, you're going to fuck with me. And ain't nobody want to fuck with me when it comes to potato and potato-based products. He deserves what he got. That's what I'm saying. Lock him up for 1,000 years. Create immortality. Give it to him. I want him to suffer for 1,000 years. Try and fuck up potato chips? How dare you?
Maybe he was trying to liberate potato chips.
Ooh.
No.
Maybe he was going in there with machete just to slice a couple. You don't know that.
For those who are not in the know, Utz, spelled U-T-Z, is a potato chip plant here in Hanover, Pennsylvania. So that's a thing that happened. He was a 25-year-old temporary employee who was fired for not showing up to work.
If this was a Florida man story, the headline would have been that he had been fired for eating too many chips off the line.
No, my favorite Maybe. Part of this is he got fired for not showing up. So what does he do? Show up.
Well, there's also the fact that he had a crush on a 20-year-old girl in the packing area of the factory, and she rejected him, apparently, and then he came back with a with a machete.
That'll win her over.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's kill everybody in the plant. I'm so mad.
I hope it was a forklift driver that took him down.
The confidence, though, that you could kill everybody in a potato chip factory with just a machete.
Maybe he was just trying to give her a sword for home defense as a gift.
Cord, not everyone's as nice as you.
You know what, JC? You hope it's a forklift driver that took it down. I'm willing to bet it probably was a forklift driver who took him down.
For sure. For sure.
Forklift drivers unite, baby. I'm forklift certified. Let's do this shit.
Yo, same.
Yeah, so we covered Taylor Swift era. We covered the Utz factory stabbing. And wouldn't be complete without mentioning the man, Barton Seltman, 84, who was arrested for first-degree murder and third-degree murder of his wife, Margaret, who was 85, after arguing over their cat's veterinary care bill.
So, one moment. He was arrested for murder of one person, but two different degrees?
Yes. First-degree murder and third-degree murder of his wife, Margaret.
Did he kill her, bring her back, and then kill her a different way? I'm confused.
Well, first-degree murder is intent, and third-degree murder is not.
Actually doing it. Oh, wait. So, wait. He intended to, but also didn't intend to? I'm confused more.
you know, like you got into a heated argument, and you didn't mean for it to get physical, but then it did. It wasn't like you were like, I'm going to murder this person today.
So, you were doing something reckless. Isn't that then just second-degree murder?
Listen, I am just telling you what USA Today wrote, okay? I don't know what the hell's going on. This is Lower Potts Grove Township, okay? I don't know what the hell is going on down there. It's like, okay, so is it that he got in a fight over this cat bill? It's not premeditated. It's more serious, though, than manslaughter. And involuntary manslaughter, it has a harsher sentence to it. This guy's already, he's already 84 years old, so like, how much more time does he have on this planet? Is he going to spend it behind bars? Maybe, what if he has dementia? What if that's what actually happened? He was found just kind of hang out back of his house on the porch, like covered in blood when the police arrived.
Those vet prices are ridiculous, though.
They really are.
Good times in Pennsylvania. Okay, so one of the reasons that I was able to get all this extra research done for this particular episode was not that I'm a huge fan of Taylor Swift, but because I've been using this new little matcha green energy shot called Magic Mind. Now, the concept behind Magic Mind is that you take it with your coffee in the morning, and it's going to boost that AM caffeine and carry you further into the day without having to drink a ridiculous amount of coffee like I was doing. Magic Mind includes herb supplements that I'm actually already taking, like vitamin B complex and turmeric. I take that for my arthritis, actually. It does work. And it also has a few supplements that I was interested in taking, like lion's mane mushroom, ashwagandha, which is supposed to be also very good for those of us with ADHD, and cordyceps mushroom. So I'm getting all of that in just one quick shot now instead of taking them all separately, which is very convenient. I've been using Magic Mind for just over a week by now, and it has definitely improved my overall mood and my ability to stay on task, which is super important with this podcast because, you know, I do almost everything, as you well know. But no comment from the clown section. Okay, so seeing how it's worked so well for me, we've teamed up with the folks at Magic Mind to get our listeners a very special offer, and that is January only. You can get 1 month free when you subscribe for at least 3 months. And that's going to our linked website made specifically for us. That's at www.magicmind.com/Jan, J-A-N, Mission Spooky. That's J-A-N, Mission Spooky, all together. And if you add the code Mission Spooky, all one word, at checkout, you're going to get an additional 20% off. And that checkout code can be used on any order of Magic Mind, by the way. So it doesn't have to be the subscription. It could just be if you want to try it out. And we'll have all those links in the code and everything in the show notes for you. JC, I highly recommend that you and Cord start taking this, as you both obviously had 3 p.m. crashes and took naps instead of showing up for the last recording.
Lies and slander.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you weren't.
Lies. And the thing is, you scheduled it during a time when Cord and I already scheduled naps. So whose fault is that? Yours. That's whose. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Actually, it is kind of funny because Cord did fall asleep and just forgot to get up and record the podcast. So,
same.
It's really funny because I did the same thing the episode before that.
I'm the only one who doesn't take naps.
Yeah, when is Kiki going to take a nap?
I don't get a thing. So, in doing the 12 Days of Weirdness Challenge here, Pennsylvania edition, there is a lot of birds in the 12 days of Christmas. And this list is no different. I tried to match up, you know, some funny little matchups here and there. And the 7 is perfect because it's 7 geese a-laying, right? But on the 7th day of weird, Miss Mission Spooky gave to me a bunch of dead geese lying on the ground. So, hey, Cord, you and I discussed the Migratory Bird Act a lot in one of our Patreon episodes on feathers and bone collecting. There were two separate ones that came up both times.
Yep.
In the first part of this weirdness, I mentioned an ornithologist. It was top of the order, actually, the number one, the missing ornithologist. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that because that's good stuff. He actually helped put this law into effect.
What a champ.
This is what I would call the find out phase of the after you fucked around when it comes to the dead geese mystery, which happened in Lawrence County in the summer of 2020. So a little bit of ways ago, but it's still an ongoing case. Game Commissioner Byron Gibbs found 25 dead birds near the wetlands at this farm. These birds included 17 Canadian geese, including babies.
I was gonna say, to be fair, Canadian geese deserve it, but then you said there were babies.
I was like, yeah.
But honestly, I've been thinking about it, and they would have just grown up to be Canadian geese, which are a terrible creature.
They're fine. They're not even as bad as the white geese sometimes that are around lakes, like just regular domestic geese.
I've seen Canadian geese rip apart mallard ducks.
Well, maybe that mallard had it coming.
Whoa, victim blaming much?
I was in what some might call a lake in Tennessee. My sisters were there and they're like, oh, we're going to go feed the ducks. So we had like this box of Cheerios and she threw a handful of Cheerios and some of the Cheerios landed like on top of the duck. And these geese just swarmed, feathers flying out of this friggin' duck, geese turning on each other. It was a massacre. Geese are not nice.
Geese are one of the most evil creatures known to man.
So maybe there was a vigilante out there killing bad geese?
Maybe.
That's what I'm going to go with.
That's what I'm going with, too. And you know what? Probably wasn't the worst person ever.
Okay, so anyway, 17 Canadian geese, including goslings, were found dead, 7 red-winged blackbirds, and a female mallard duck. The birds were found along a trail of yellow corn, and it was suspected that they had been poisoned. Robert Yost, 51, of New Galilee, and Jacob Reese, 26, of Enon Valley, are on trial. They face charges of conspiracy, unlawful use of a registered restricted pesticide, and unlawfully killing of migratory birds. How many times have we said it? Don't do it. They gon' get you. The alleged motive, as far as the government is concerned, is that the accused spread poisoned corn along a wetlands area on the Edwards family farm to mitigate damage to Yost's soybean crop caused by the geese. And what do we talk about, Cord? You cannot kill animals just because they're eating your crops.
Yes.
Technically, I can't, you know, kill the deer that are eating everything in my freaking garden, so.
I actually had a neighbor back where I used to live that was caught baiting and shooting protected birds. He had shot and killed a bald eagle.
Whoa.
When they went to investigate the property because they knew he did it, they found like 6 great herons on his property,
man.
Like just fucking dead, just out there rotten on his property. So like killing protected birds is a Pennsylvania tradition at this point.
Only if you're a huge piece of shit.
Yeah. I moved after that. I was very upset.
Teresa Edwards, the farm owner, testified that Yost and his employees, including Reese, tried to stop the birds from damaging crops. Edwards reported hearing gunshots fired near the wetlands on Yost's farm and discovered leg hold traps, leading to a call to the Game Commission. Edwards testified that Reese, shirtless, was seen shoveling something resembling grain along the wetlands edge. Photos taken by Edwards showed Reese engaged in this activity. The next morning, Ben Edwards discovered the dead birds in the field. So the Game Commission, you know, Officer Gibbs is called up. He arrives, collects the bird samples, and expressed concerns about secondary poisoning of other wildlife. Because, yeah, duh, you know, it's not just the birds that are going to eat this. It could be chipmunks and squirrels and rabbits and deer. All things that are also technically protected. Some of those things have hunting seasons here in PA. So you can kill them, but only certain times of the year. The lab confirmed that the corn was coated in carbofuran, declared unsafe by the EPA in 2009. Gibbs obtained a search warrant for Yost's farm. Body cam footage played during the trial showed Yost admitting to sending Reese to put seed corn to deter birds, denying that it was poisoned. Yost suggests that the birds might have overeaten non-poisoned corn, a claim deemed implausible by the game commissioner officer. So Reese then goes on to say, yeah, I put corn out, but I didn't poison it. And there is a continuance of the trial. The two could face up to $31,000 in fines and up to 13 months in jail if convicted.
Good.
That's bird law, bitch.
There we go. Man, I can't wait to talk about this one. So, you know, 8 days, eight maids of milking. We have on the 8th day of weirdness, Mission Spooky gave to me. Stories of bad maids a-milking.
Ooh.
Wow, so original.
Well, that's because we're going to talk about the great swill scandal of 1858. Boys and girls, you're going to learn why the FDA is so important to us. This was a public health crisis that arose when milk producers in Philadelphia began diluting their milk with water and coloring it with chalk to give it the appearance of freshness.
Sorry, what?
That's right, folks. Back in 1858, you weren't drinking actual milk. You were drinking water with chalk in it.
So skim milk.
With a little tiny bit of actual milk in it.
Yeah, so skim milk.
No, I've had skim milk. This is fine. Listen, the practice led to widespread illness and death. Before pasteurization refrigeration in the late 19th century, Pennsylvanians primarily consumed dairy in the form of either butter or cheese. Liquid milk was usually reserved for infants, the elderly, or sick individuals. Contagious diseases like typhoid, scarlet fever, and tuberculosis were all linked to raw milk consumption.
Wait,
it was more dangerous, so they gave it to the vulnerable population?
Yeah, I had the same...
Yeah.
You're gonna die anyway, kid.
In the spirit of Christmas, decrease the surplus population.
Less Christmas presents you have to buy.
This is the problem, right? You're in that time period and milk is precious. So you want to reserve it for infants who might need it because they can't breastfeed. You might want to give it to the elderly because they might be suffering from, I don't know.
Weak bone syndrome.
Yeah, weak bones, right? Or if you're sick, they figured a whole milk will help you get better. So you already have to be super careful about drinking it in the first place is the lesson here, right? For this time period. And then it gets worse. Right. So urban dairies in the early 1800s sold, quote, swill milk, an inferior and often contaminated product from cows fed cheap fermented grain byproduct. Let that sink in for a minute.
I'd rather not.
So newspapers, including the Philadelphia Inquirer, highlighted the role of swill milk and sickly cows in high infant mortality rates, leading to the enactment of laws to ensure milk purity. So thank you. That was actual journalism, not the crap we have today, but actual real journalism. People going out and risking everything to call out the milk producers and say, this has to stop. Progress in the early 20th century led to improvements. In 1914, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture reported that laws were working, making milk more trustworthy. So once again, people always bitch about, oh, why are you going to make a law for it? Well, the laws work because people have to adhere to the laws, right? So they can't do spill milk anymore. They can't put chalk in your freaking milk anymore.
They still sell it. I swear, it's called skim milk.
On the 9th day of weirdness, Mission Spooky gave to me
an extensive collection of beer cans.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be proud of yourself, Cord.
Not only did Jeff Lebo of York Haven collect more beer cans than anyone else in the world, he lets anyone take a look, provided you stay overnight. He currently rents out the building where his collection is stored as an Airbnb called Brew House Mountain Eco Inn, and it costs about $472 a night.
All right, so first when you said, as long as you stay the night, I'm like, well, before you're like, he lets anyone take a look. I'm like, oh, how wholesome. And then you're like, as long as you stay the night. I'm like, that's fucking creepy. That's weird. Why does he want so many people to stay the night? And then you're like, oh, he runs an Airbnb or a B&B, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's okay. This is fine, I guess.
Now, he has sold some of his collection off to fund a jungle resort in Costa Rica.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So his collection is over 96,000 beer cans. His home was specifically built for this collection, featuring various variants and limited run beer can designs from around the world. And I'm going to mention just a few of what I consider the unusual eye-catching designs, because who doesn't like to talk about beer can art? My sister-in-law actually did make art for a local brewery, and I can't remember which one it was. The Ladies of Tennant's Lager. Where's my Scottish folks at? I know you're listening, probably, right? Hopefully you listen to this one. Tennant's, which is a Scottish beer company, features glamour shots of women on their cans, providing a multitude of variations for collectors. Other favorite one is the Gallon cans. In the 1960s, American companies experimented with selling beer by the gallon.
As God intended.
But the idea was unpopular, and these large cans were quickly discontinued.
Weak.
I know. Who doesn't want a gallon of beer?
They should try that again. I think they do good.
Yeah, now they would, especially if they deliver, too. Can you imagine? Like, just, can I get a gallon of milk and a gallon of beer? Thanks.
Kind of sounds like an average Wednesday of my childhood.
Right. Lion's Lager Animal Safari. This is Lion Brewery of South Africa, features various African creatures on their cans, leading to Lebo's collection of cans adorned with zebras, rhinos, giraffes, kudus, and other indigenous fauna. Then there's tiny beer cans. A lot of these are released as promotional things. They're filled with water, though, and they're just collector's items as just these tiny little beer cans. I love them. Next up is Duff Beer from The Simpsons, made famous by The Simpsons, right? They're an Australian brewing company. They did face legal issues because of it, right? Because I guess maybe they didn't ask permission to use the name and it was taken off the market. But Lebo has some of these beer cans. There's the Hello Kitty beer, obviously a Japanese beer company featuring Hello Kitty and a lot of the other animated characters in the Sanrio series. There's Penguin beer.
Made by penguins.
Made by penguins, yes. I knew you were going to say that.
For penguins.
It's for penguins. It's penguin beer. It's made for penguins. Suntory brand in Japan uses cartoon mascots, particularly on smaller bottles available from vending machines, because Japan is the bomb, okay? Like, I want to go to Japan so bad. Yes, they have vending machines for everything. It just makes life so much easier. They also come in a quick shot size, too. Like, just a boom, little quick shot of beer, like, throw it back, right? Then we have one of my favorites called Mini Kegs. Still made in Germany, mini kegs can be tapped upside down or standing with the aid of a carbon dioxide cartridge. And I like this. The very first can of beer. In 1935, Kruger Beer Company in Newark, New Jersey, became the first to market beer in cans. They initially tested the product in Richmond, Virginia, before it gained widespread acceptance. The use of cans had advantages in terms of weight and protection from light exposure compared to bottles. Just FYI. Although I still prefer a bottle of beer over a can.
Depends on the beer, honestly.
I mean, if it's Pabst, you know, or Schlitz, then sure, give me a can. Who cares?
There's just some that I think, like, the metallicness of the can gives, like, a unique flavor to it. It's, you know, we're not a beer podcast. I don't want to be a beer podcast.
Or, like, Foster's Australian for beer. I need the oil can for that. I'm sorry.
I prefer a can just because most of the time I drink beers at concerts and they don't let you have glass there.
Yeah, duh. There was one time that there was a giveaway of a glass item at a hockey game, and that's a whole other podcast story.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. Why the fuck
did
you do that?
It did not go well. It did not go well. It was North Carolina versus the Sabres. I was living in NC. It was the playoffs. The Sabres fans were a bunch of dicks. Go figure. And it was bad.
Sabres fans, dicks? No way.
Dude, it was glass everywhere. There was people cutting. There was blood. It was ridiculous. They won. And they still attacked people. I'm not even joking. My friend had glass stuck right through his hand. Yeah. Anyway, don't give away glass at events. Dumb people do dumb things. Well,
wow. A team that would cause a ruckus even when they win. I can't imagine what that would be like living only an hour and a half from Philadelphia.
Don't even, because Canadians are just as bad, okay?
You trying to say some shit about the Eagles?
Yeah, don't say shit about our Eagles.
Yeah, we're a Go Bird family here, okay?
Go Birds.
We say that. We say Go Birds because otherwise we don't want to die. I don't want to go in a bar and be like, that's the guy that said fuck the Eagles.
Come the fuck at me, Philly. I'm not fucking scared.
I am, Philly.
I'm a little scared of Gritty, but not near stupid Bird.
Gritty's gonna fuck you up. Gritty is the.
That's why I said I'm a little scared of Gritty.
Avatar of Philadelphia.
He is.
Just to end, since we're talking about sports, for some reason, all of a sudden, go Birds. But it is today the anniversary of the pelting of ice particles at Santa Claus during an Eagles game. Was that 1968?
Yeah. Case in point.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, good times. On the 10th day of Weirdness, Mission Spooky gave to me a house shaped like a shoe. You guys know about this?
Yeah, I know about this one.
All right. Awesome. We got some weird shit that goes on here. We like to build weird shit. So Haynes Shoe House is located in Hellam Township, Pennsylvania. It's a unique structure built in the shape of a work boot. It was constructed in 1948 by Mullen Haynes, a shoe salesman, as an advertisement for his shoe store. Initially provided as a vacation spot for newlyweds and senior couples, it has also served as a museum, an ice cream shop, and currently operates as an Airbnb rental property. So we're going right back into Airbnb, right? Malin Haynes is known as the Shoe Wizard, designed the house after handing a work boot to an architect and saying, "Build me a house like this." The five-story house features different sections with a living room in the toe, kitchen in the heel, bedrooms in the ankle, and a rec room in the instep. A stained glass panel inside depicts Mullen Haynes holding a pair of shoes. Fire escapes were added in the 1960s. Good on him. Haynes never lived in the shoe house, but built a home across the street in his later years. After Malin Haynes' death in 1962, the house was given to his employees, and later sold to a dentist in 1964. Over the years, it changed hands multiple times, serving as a tourist attraction, like I said, ice cream parlor, and undergoing renovations by various owners through the years. The seventh owners, Jeff and Melanie Schmuck,
a bunch of schmucks.
I knew you were going to say it, purchased the house in 2015. Co-owner Melanie Schmuck passed away in 2019, RIP. The property was then sold to Waylon and Naomi Brown in 2022, so just recently, and renovations and improvements for its current use as a short-term rental is what they're working on now.
I refuse to accept that. The schmuck should live in the shoe.
Yes.
The Haynes Shoe House was featured in the eighth season of the reality TV series The Amazing Race in 2005, and on HGTV's What's With That House in 2007. The house has inspired various board games, shoes, obviously, and technical papers. It received a historical marker from the Pennsylvania Museum Commission, recognizing its mark on history and its unique, quote, programmatic architecture as a local landmark. The Haynes Shoe House stands as a quirky yet historically significant piece of architecture, showcasing the creative promotional efforts of Malin Haynes and attracting attention for both tourists and the media. Love that quirky history and architecture. On the 11th day of Weirdmas, Mission Spooky gave to me Pennsylvania's Stonehenge. Located near Bangor,
barely newer.
God damn it.
Pennsylvania, in the northern reaches of the Lehigh Valley.
That's kind of where we are.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Cullum Seal Megalith Park is a privately owned park featuring large rocks stacked in ways reminiscent of ancient Celtic practices. One of its highlights is a series of rocks placed in a manner similar to a small version of Stonehenge. The park's roots trace back to 1967 when William H. Cohea Jr. had a dream during a trip to the Isle of Iona, which is off the western coast of Scotland. Hey, we're back to Scotland again, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure it was during a trip. Wink.
In the dream, he was surrounded by standing stones. Cohea, now, here's the thing. It's spelled Cohea, but I think it might be Cohe. I don't know. I'll go with him. Maybe it's William H. Cohe Jr. William is inspired by his dream and in 1975 purchased the land that would become Cullum Seal Megalith Park. So the park's name comes from Saint Cullum Seal, a 6th century monk from Ireland. And of course, megalith is referring to the large stones forming prehistoric monuments. St. Cullum Seal played a significant role in Celtic Christianity, building monasteries in Ireland and establishing the foundation of Celtic Christianity on the Isle of Iona. The park boasts nearly 100 stone monuments sourced from the park and nearby shale quarry. Stones vary in size, with the largest rising 20 feet out of the ground and weighing 45 tons. Wooded hiking trails pass between the 20 monuments, offering a picturesque and mysterious experience. A map near the entrance provides guidance, and while trails are unmarked, they are easy to follow. The park's most famous megalith, often called America's Stonehenge, is located in an open area near the parking lot. Visitors, though, are encouraged to be very respectful and explore the park, appreciating the beauty, because it is a private park. I mean, you should respect every park, but, you know.
It is a really great place to visit. I actually did my engagement photos there years and years ago. Fun fact, if you do want to go there and take pictures on the property, though, you are supposed to contact the park office for permission, especially if you're doing it as like a photographer, like you're doing mini sessions or anything like that, and you're selling photography from there, you absolutely need permission, and that's on their website, and you can check that out. And a lot of people are talking about how like the Stonehenge kind of setup is like the coolest part of the park. I actually think my favorite part of the park is they have like this archway that like goes through the walking path, and it's just a huge stone circle that you can like walk through. Kind of, it reminds me of a hobbit hole, and that's my favorite part of the park. I love this park, and sometimes they have events there. Sometimes they host solstice events there, and you can look that up, and you can always stop into the park office. Sometimes people are there and they can tell you more about the park and its founding, and they're super nice people to have a conversation with.
Come to the end of the line. Some of you may be happy about it. Some of you, I'm surprised, are still listening. I'm just kidding. On the 12th day of Weirdmas, Mission Spooky gave to me the legend of Bowman Hill Tower. Who knows the legend of Bowman Hill Tower? Anybody?
I'm hoping you do.
Yeah.
Well, as somebody who lives in Bowman's Town, I don't know a goddamn thing about it.
Is it in Bowmanstown?
No.
No. It's not at all.
No. Bowman's Hill Tower is located in Solbury Township, Bucks County, closer to my neck of the woods. The hill and tower have historical significance tied to Dr. John Bowman, who sailed with the British fleet to capture Captain Kidd, but switched sides, becoming Kidd's personal physician. There's a whole ass story that when we did Pirates, we did not talk about Captain Kidd. We really should have. It's super interesting, but I also feel like a lot of people talk about Captain Kidd and his connection to like New England in this area. So anyway,
I think he had another like nickname when he got like more in his career. It was Captain Adult.
Anyway, so Dr.
Kid, but then when he got older, he became an adult. Where does this genius come from? The world may never know.
So Dr. John Bowman settled in Newtown about 6 miles from the hill after switching sides during Kid's capture. Upon his death, Bowman was buried on top of the hill, expressing a desire to be as near to heaven as possible. But local folklore suggests that Bowman's ghost haunts that hill with eerie sounds attributed to him under certain atmospheric conditions. So, like when it's foggy or raining. So folklore tells of placing one's ear to the ground next to Bowman's grave and asking him, Bowman, what killed you? With the alleged response being nothing.
Like nothing killed him? Is he still alive?
Right, that's the whole thing. He's still roaming around Bowman's Hill. Stones believed to mark Bowman's grave were once near the top of the hill, close to a vanished black oak tree surrounded by a mythical aura. I love that. A massive oaken chest found among Bowman's possessions did not contain Captain Kidd's gold, sparking treasure hunt rumors. Maybe the loot's up on the hill. Maybe he's buried with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. So many attempts have been made to try to recover this, quote, treasure on the hill, all unsuccessful. The site is also linked to the Revolutionary War, with claims of being a graveyard for soldiers killed by Hessian mercenaries. Boy, say that 5 times. Hessian mercenaries. Stones covering the hillside are believed to be old grave markers, and the alleged sound of soldiers' shrieks and groans persist. Boy, who wrote this?
Wasn't it you?
It was. I'm like, soldiers' shrieks. Yeah, I did write that. Okay. This is our last recording of a regular episode in 2023. So if you're listening and you have something specific that you want us to talk about, let us know. Mission Spooky Podcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Send us your ideas. We will listen. Tell us if you want to hear more stories of specific haunted locations, or if you'd like to hear a little bit more about murder, or if you'd like to hear more interviews.
How to contact Matt Money Maker. Ooh, I found his booking agent. That was really easy.
Well, he is the most popular person on the planet.
I hate everything about this conversation. Happy holidays. That's what I say, because there's a lot of holidays going on right now, and I think they're all viable. So happy holidays. And for the last time in 2023, stay spooky and don't die. But if you do, contact us.
One moment. I'm writing an email to Matt Moneymaker's booking agent. If I get Matt Moneymaker...
Don't make me talk to him, please. He's living every dream I've ever had in my whole life. It's like looking in a mirror where everything went right and I'm in the side that everything went horribly, horribly wrong.
Call Mission Spooky. We would love...
I swear to God, if he gets Matt Moneymaker on this fucking podcast...
Thank you. So, to be fair, the United States did not have airports at the time. The British did. It's a historical, not a well-known historical fact, but yes, the British actually invented air travel.
Well, I mean, were we sending messages by pigeon? Maybe he's talking about pigeon airports. Hmm?
Do you think that the British had, like, a militarized pigeon force? Because that would have won the war. In my opinion.
But can you prove they didn't?
I'm fascinated by this concept. I'm not arguing that they didn't. I think that that's a fantastic theory.
I don't even know.
Cord's head's gonna explode.
I don't even know what to fucking say.